time to talk Patriots more this afternoon as we're joined on the telephone line by Christopher Price of the Boston Globe. Chris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rich. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. It feels a bit odd to be talking about the Patriots season in the past tense this early in January.
It really does. I always wondered, and maybe you can help me out with this, or maybe the audience can help me out with this. You know how they always say when it's the end of baseball season, they say, everyone refer, oh boy, doesn't it feel like fall all of a sudden, or doesn't it feel like winter? There's nothing that translates when the football season is done. You can't say, boy, oh boy, you know, it sure does feel like spring, or whatever the case may be. It just stops. Belichick has said in years past, it's just like, you know, in the playoffs, and you're going, you're running on the treadmill, and all of a sudden just someone hits the stop button, and then there's a finality to it that I don't think really compares.
No, and when it's this early, I guess this is what Browns fans feel like every year.
Exactly, yeah. Well, at least, you know what, if you're a New England fan, at least you did get the one playoff game, right? The Browns haven't had a playoff game since Lord knows when.
Exactly. Well, let's break down a little bit of what happened on Saturday night, and start with credit. A heck of a game plan, I thought, from Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, when you have an offensive option like Derrick Henry, you'd be foolish not to lean on him, you know, quite frequently. Over the years, we've seen a lot of teams try to outfox or outthink or kind of, you know, present a different look and kind of, you know, take the Patriots by surprise a little bit. Look, when you got a guy back there like Derrick Henry against a team that, you know, over the course of the year against some really good running attacks, they struggled to contain some running attacks, it just makes sense. It was funny. I was remarking to someone that, you know, when you have a situation like that, inevitably people say, you know, the old theory is, you know, well, why don't you just build the whole plane out of what you make the black box? Just hand the ball to Derrick Henry over and over again. Don't overthink it. You know, it's very, very simple in that instance. And, you know, the Titans were able to do it. They were also able to play really good complementary football. They got a great performance out of their special teams, particularly their punter. In a close game, he was able to tilt the field, you know, and win the battle of field position on a consistent basis. But look, Derrick Henry, you know, makes things very, very easy. When you have a guy like Derrick Henry back there, it makes things very, very easy for a head coach.
And then, well, we got down to that situation late, even with 25 seconds left. We've all seen it so many times in the past, and I think a lot of people believed Tom Brady's going to find a way to pull that magic out one more time.
Yeah, it was one of those moments where you don't like to be the person who prematurely throws dirt on them, because, as you said, you've seen it so often, Brady pulls the magic out and they inevitably end up coming back and winning the thing. But, you know, a lot of credit to, as you mentioned before, a lot of credit to Tennessee. They made the plays. They made the plays in big moments when it mattered the most. And, you know, the Logan Ryan pick six, you know, effectively ended things. So, you know, from start to finish, the Titans were there. And in big moments, they made the plays that counted. And conversely, you know, in big moments, the Patriots did not. You know, when you get down inside, you know, Tennessee territory like that twice and you come away with field goals, the margin for error is so slim. You know, you hope that things like that don't come back to haunt you, but ultimately they did.
And there really seems to be something to these former Patriots, guys who either coached or played for Bill Belichick, knowing what moves to make down the stretch, even to copying some of his early season tactics of taking those delay of game penalties.
Exactly, too. And I have to mention this, and this is a great conversation to have, and, you know, no disrespect intended to guys like Bill O'Brien or, you know, Matt Patricia, but Vrabel is on a different level, and you can understand that when you speak to him, when you can understand that when you talk to people in Tennessee, that he is already ahead of the game, even though he is relatively new to head coaching in the NFL. He's a very, very smart guy. You know, we saw him use that maneuver, the clock runoff maneuver that the Patriots used earlier in the year against the Jets. You know, it's those kinds of things, in addition to the game planning and in addition to the team building process, you know, not to forget that aspect of it, but it's those kinds of things, you know, the attention to detail, the little things that give him an advantage that's ultimately going to make him a very good coach in the National Football League.
Ultimately, as we look back on this 2019 season, is it as simple as, try as they might, the Patriots were never able to find enough talent to surround Tom Brady?
Yeah, this team really, Rich, was, and I said this earlier in the week, I mean, they were fighting with one hand tied behind their back all year because it was a really good defense. And a part of that was, you know, the numbers were maybe artificially inflated because they played such weak teams at the start of the year. But I think the defense from start to finish, with the exception of a game or two here or there, was really good. They just didn't have anything on the offensive side of the ball, you know, to really develop any kind of offensive rhythm, any kind of offensive consistency. One of the things that I thought was really weird, and this is something I'm writing for later in the week, is that even though James White was only one of a handful of guys this year to get 60 catches and 60 carries, I'm talking about across the league, he seemed to be conspicuously absent in the big moment. Mm. And I have no way of measuring that, but I don't know. And I don't know whether it was execution. I don't know whether it was play calling. I don't know whether it was a little bit of both. But, you know, this is a guy who is a Super Bowl MVP. This is a guy who has won the trust totally and completely of Tom Brady, and he was absent in a lot of big moments. Now, again, I don't know, you know, directly what to attribute that to, but it seems to me that he's a guy who should be, you know, who should have had more of a role, you know, in these dicey situations when they were having trouble kind of, you know, getting things started offensively.
We're talking with Christopher Price, the Boston Globe, Boston.com, and your point after column, you talked about this coming off season as maybe being the most important that Bill Belichick has ever had, because it's way beyond just Tom Brady. There are an awful lot of people, players, assistant coaches, who could be going other places.
Yeah, this is going to be the biggest challenge of his career as a team builder. And I know that specific to the offseason. I know people talk about the offseason with Wes Welker when he left and Aaron Hernandez's situation, but that really only came up in June. I think from start to finish, they are going to, and when I say they, I mean specifically Bill Belichick, he's going to have a series of decisions that are going to impact his franchise, I would say a decade or so going forward. And I know that, you know, that is the case every year, but when you look at the guys whose futures are up in the air right now, Tom Brady, you know, Devin McCourty, Joe Tooney, you know, the coaching staff with Josh McDaniels and Joe Judge, and, you know, the front office, if Nick Caserio ends up leaving, these guys are foundational elements. These guys are absolutely vital to what they want to do. And pulling the trigger on these decisions, it's all going to come down to Bill. You know, I know it's going to be a collaborative, obviously, with the quarterback, because that's a different situation. But so many of these decisions are going to impact how this team looks in 2020 and 2021 and beyond. And so, you know, these are the kind of huge franchising altering decisions that are on Belichick's plate this offseason. And again, I'm going to be fascinated to see the way it all plays out, because, you know, these guys are so absolutely vital. And we haven't even brought up things like free agency and salary cap in the draft. It's just personnel. You know, the personnel questions that he has in front of him are really going to go a long way toward, you know, shaping this team in 2020, 2021 and beyond.
Do you think Josh McDaniels is gone?
Boy, that's a good question. No, I don't think he's gone. I think he ends up sticking around for, I don't know, maybe 1 year or 2 years. I think they, from a big picture perspective, Rich, I think they find a way to keep the whole thing together for at least one more year, and that includes the quarterback. You know, if he comes back on a very short-term deal, maybe a one-year deal, I just don't think that, you know, he wants to go out that way. I don't think he wants his final legacy, the final image of what he did in New England to be a pick six by Logan, you know, from Logan Ryan. And I know there's a possibility going other places. You know, we've heard about the Chargers, and we obviously know that, you know, guys like Montana and Unitas, you know, ended their careers, you know, in places where they did not start them necessarily. So the precedent is there. But I just don't think that's the way he wants to end things in New England. And I think, you know, by connection, I don't think that Josh McDaniels wants to go out this way.
Do you think Bill Belichick wants Tom Brady back next year?
That's the question. That's really the question. I do, but I think he wants him back on his terms. You know, I don't think he wants to break the bank and give him, you know, $88 bazillion a year, for example. I think that he wants to have Tom back, and I think he wants to be able to, you know, start planning those bridge year or years for the post-Brady era. You know, I'm going to be fascinated to see, and we're just kicking this around the, you know, the newsroom here at the Globe, if, are the Patriots in play for a quarterback this offseason?
Mm.
And this should be a really interesting quarterback draft, and it should also be a really interesting wide receiver draft. And so, you know, if you're the Patriots, do you say, hey, maybe we trade up to 10 for Tua, you know, and with the idea that, you know, you keep Tua, you know, you sit him on the bench for a year while Brady plays, you know, at least in theory, his final year in New England. So there's a lot of different things at play. Like I said, you know, when you talk about Belichick and the decisions that he faces, there's all of these, you know, conundrums that are in front of him, in front of them as a franchise, I just feel like, you know, are going to have these massive ripple effects going forward.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to watch. Chris, I always appreciate your insight on this. Was thinking we'd be talking about leading up to a Super Bowl, but in some ways, this certainly has the potential to be every bit as dramatic as we watch the future of this team develop over the next several weeks.
It really is. I mean, you know, there's so much on the plate, you know, and it's funny, we kind of referenced that with Belichick, but when you think about everything that could happen this offseason, usually in the NFL offseason, it's always interesting anyway, it's always compelling, you know, there's always movement, there's always drama. This offseason with the Patriots, I think, you know, having covered this team since 2001, promises to be maybe the most compelling offseason, you know, that we've seen, and that includes, you know, like I said before, the 2012 offseason, you know, when Wes Welker left, and you know, the 2006 to 2007 offseason when Welker showed up and, you know, they got Randy Moss, and there's just so many possibilities here. I think that we're going to see, and I don't want to go too far afield here because I know we're wrapping up, but I think we're going to see something along the lines of what we saw from 2009 to 2010, where Belichick basically, you know, tore up a lot of the roster, kind of tossed it overboard and ended up, you know, going out and getting guys who are transformative talents like Rob Gronkowski and kind of laying the groundwork for that second wave, that second dynasty that they enjoyed over these last few years. But again, you know, the most compelling team in the National Football League, they're never short of drama, and I think this offseason is going to be no exception.
No question about that. Hey, Christopher, we appreciate it. As always, thanks so much for being with us, and we'll check back in before too long to see how this story continues to develop.
Sounds good, Rich. We'll talk to you soon.
That's Chris Price of the Boston Globe, boston.com, with us here on Downtown.